This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Many school children can't wait for summer break each year. But for those students who qualify for free and reduced meals at school, summer can mean food insecurity. This summer, Gunderson Health System is joining a variety of organizations in the La Crosse area in providing free meals for local students. Joining us now to talk about these programs and why they're important for the community are Nick Ragner, Development Director for the Salvation Army in La Crosse, Cindy Solis, Registered Dietitian at Gunderson Health System, and Lynn Halverson, Nutrition Supervisor for the La Crosse School District. Lynn, can you start by talking a little bit about, you know, what meal programs are available in the community? Obviously, La Crosse School District, you know, they provide free meals for kids. But, you know, who else is kind of filling this need in the community?
We have a great community partnership with other area organizations, and we meet annually with the Salvation Army, with Gunderson, with the Boys and Girls Club, and the Y. And we look at a city map, and we make sure that we're handling every area in the city where there's a need. So if a school isn't in that area for a program, we make sure that the Salvation Army can go with their mobile meals, you know, that the Y does some work in the parks and at their centers too. So we work really hard to make sure that we have, you know, a tight-knit group that, you know, really watches out for kids.
Why is that important?
Well, you know, it's really important. I can't express enough how, especially being in the school district, when we have traditional buildings that are only open the 9 or 10 months of normal school, we worried about these kids. You know, what happens to these kids during the summer? And back in 1990 is when the summer food service program started in the school district of La Crosse. So we've been doing this for 28 years. And in that 28 years, we're nearing a million meals that we've served during that time. So when we started in 1990, we weren't quite sure how the program, if it would be successful or not. We started at two buildings, our two highest need buildings, and we grew from there, and every summer we have about 10 sites now that we offer it at because we just see the importance of it.
Nick, can you talk a little bit about the Salvation Army's meal program? You know, what does that look like for kids?
Yeah, you know, as Lynn kind of mentioned, we like to fill the gaps where there's not necessarily a summer feeding program in the area. So really what our role is and what's great about the program that we run is it's all run by community donations. So we don't have any sort of restrictions on areas or the amount of meals we can serve. So typically we'll go out to, you know, some of the trailer courts that are just a little bit off the beaten path that aren't around or give these kids the possibility of going to one of the schools or to Gunderson or to one of the Boys and Girls Club locations to get meals. And we try to make sure that those kids, if they're not around those places, if their parents don't have the proper transportation to those places, that they have the meals that they need throughout the summertime in order to, you know, at least feed them for that one time. Because sometimes, as I'm sure everybody around here will agree, those meals are the only meals that they'll have on that given day. So that's kind of the role that we play. And as Lynn kind of mentioned, we'll meet annually and we just go, where do you want us to go? And that's where we go. So
what does a meal look like for kids?
Yeah, you know, at the Salvation Army in particular, it just kind of honestly depends on what we get donated. We have a lot of great community partners, Great Lakes Cheese, Organic Valley, Festival Foods, Quick Trip. A lot of those places really help us out, and it just depends on what we have on any given day. So that could be anything from a meat and cheese sandwich to a granola bar to fruit cups to fresh fruit, bottled water, juice boxes, you name it. If we get the donations, we'll make it happen with the meals. And I do want to say, as a kid that grew up in this community, I also took advantage of one of the summer feeding programs that I had around the area where I grew up. And while at the time it does maybe just seem like a nice lunch to have on any given day for a kid, I think it means a lot to let them know and let their families know that there's a community around them and there's a community that's willing to provide for them if they're facing some tough times.
Lynn, what does a meal typically look like for students who are accessing, you know, a free meal at the La Crosse School District sites?
Well, it's pretty much what we offer during the school year. We have the same components. It's a federal program, so we have pretty stringent requirements on everything in order, you know, to get our funding. So anytime you work with the government, there are a lot of things that you have to make sure you're doing. One of the things that's kind of fun for us, though, is that we have school gardens at quite a few of our schools, and if there's an abundance of produce that the families in the area aren't taking, we incorporate that into our meal. So our kids get kaled out by the time we come back in August because we have lots of kale and, you know, just tomatoes and peppers and cucumbers and things like that. Lots of greens are being grown, and they really try to distribute most of it to the families in the area, the people that come and help work. But we're lucky enough to receive that extra.
And Cindy, this is the first year that Gunderson is providing this kind of program. What are those meals going to look like for students?
So what we are doing is we are offering the meals at the Gunderson cafeteria each day from 9 a.m. until 6 p.m. and then another location on the Gunderson campus at the bistro from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. And we are also delivering meals. So we'll be we started that yesterday, actually, delivering meals to Polk Park and Powell Park.
Why did Gunderson want to get involved in this free meal program? You know, why is it, important for a health system to kind of play this role?
Well, we definitely identified that there was a need in the community, and being a health system, who better to take on this role of providing free meals to hungry children who otherwise may not be getting a nutritious meal or a meal at all?
Lynn, you mentioned earlier that the La Crosse School District has been, you know, providing meals during the summertime for a while now. And I wonder if there have been any changes to the program, or maybe changes in the needs that you see.
Well, you know, kids are still kids, and there's certain things that kids like pizza and tacos and some of those things. And that's been the same for 28 years, you know, that we've been doing this. But we're really doing some creative things. One of the things we're trying this year is at Hamilton Elementary School. That is our year-round school in the district, but they're times that they have intercession when the kids aren't in school for that. So we've opened up a brunch program there. So we're serving a little bit later in the morning, because we find if there's not a scheduled school program at the school building, they aren't always able to get there at 7:30 in the morning when we would offer our normal breakfast. So this brunch program we're hoping will be successful and bring kids in a little bit later. And then the Y is providing sack lunches later in the evening for those kids. So they'll still get two meals a day, just delivered in a little bit different way.
So kind of adapting to maybe people's lifestyles more.
Well, I think you have to do that. I mean, you have to change with what the lifestyles are, or you're not successful. And we've just found, you know, we change with the nutrition. When we find new things about nutrition, we are really careful to, you know, make sure that kids have low fat, low sodium, you know, high fiber types of foods, lots of fresh fruits and vegetables. So, you know, we're pretty data driven. So we just want to make sure the kids have the most optimum energy to keep them going for their busy days in the summer.
Nick, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about, you mentioned earlier that, you know, the Salvation Army's program is based on charitable, or based on donations from the community. And I wonder if you could talk about, what that funding looks like to kind of fill the gaps in those donations that you receive.
Yeah, it's a pretty unique program, and honestly, it's pretty heartwarming. So how the program kind of works, we run Monday through Friday, and then we have a number of groups that come in and make the meals every morning. And we had a meeting with those groups last week to kind of talk about, you know, what to expect for this coming summer. And, you know, one of the biggest needs that we need every year is bread, because it has a shelf life, you know. And like I said, this is all donated, right? So whether it's the lunch meat we use, the cheese we use, the fruit snacks we might have, the granola bars, the fresh fruit, I mean, these come from individuals or organizations in the community that want to be able to feed kids. So we made an appeal. We just said, hey guys, you know, if you ever want to, you know, donate anything, it's bread at this time. And I think the first group that started yesterday brought like 30 or 40 loaves of bread. So that's kind of typically how it works. And it's pretty special too, because a lot of times people might not also understand just how big of a difference some of these donations make. I think one of the most heartwarming stories that I had heard was from a volunteer that delivers the meals, and she had said that one of those lunches included a banana in it, right? We all know what a banana is. But when they stopped at one of the trailer courts and delivered the meal, the kid opened the bag, and they had no idea what that fruit was. They had never seen a banana before. And that jarred me a little bit. And to realize that, you know, something as little as a brown paper bag lunch with a banana in it can be that eye-opening to a family and to a kid, just because somebody decided, you know what, I'm gonna donate some bananas to the Salvation Army today. I think it's pretty touching, and it's a pretty special part of what the program is.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking with organizations providing free meals to La Crosse area students this summer. We're here with Nick Ragner from the Salvation Army in La Crosse, Cindy Solis from Gunderson Health System, and Lynn Halverson from the La Crosse School District. Nick, you mentioned that you have a lot of great business partners and
partners with organizations in the community that make donations. But I wonder if you've seen any changes in community donations. I mean, are you seeing the same number of people kind of interested in donating to the program, or is that something that you guys are watching to make sure that you're going to be receiving enough food to feed these kids?
You know, I think in the past, a lot of what the Salvation Army did is we like to work with a lot of different community partners for general donations, right? So in a way, you know, connecting with an Organic Valley or a Great Lakes Cheese and just trying to find a way in which we could maximize any sort of monetary donation that they made. And a really big effort that we're making now is trying to connect some of these partners with specific programs that they can buy into and see, you know, opposed to just, you know, working with them at one point in the year and then using those dollars later in the year. I think that's had a pretty big impact on just honestly being able to connect people in the community with a program that they believe in. And, you know, when it comes to donations, I think that's the biggest part about it. So whenever I talk to anybody that's willing to donate, I always also tell them, you know, I think it's important that either you volunteer or you ride along or you just see the impact that that program's making. And I think you could probably say that with a lot of the other programs happening in the community because, you know, that makes the biggest difference, right? Knowing where your dollars or your food or your donations are going and how that impacts the people in your community.
Cindy, Nick brought up an interesting point just a few minutes ago about just the nutrition that could be provided. You know, providing that child with a banana and kind of introducing them to a healthy food. I wonder if you could talk about kind of, you know, why it's important to have these, you know, access to these nutritional meals for kids.
Yeah, it's so important because these meals that we're providing to children, it's not just filling up their stomachs. It's also has an impact on their education. They're more alert. We know that children who are getting nutritious meals do better on achievement tests. They're more likely to be able to take advantage of other opportunities in life just because they're getting that good nutrition.
So from a nutritional perspective, this is really important. And Lynn, I wonder if you could touch on from a societal perspective, you know, why is this something that's worthwhile for the community to invest in, filling this need of, you know, making sure kids have access to meals during the summertime?
Well, you know, number one, these kids are going to be taking care of us when we get old. I mean, it's really important that we have students that are healthy and able to be productive members of our society and be out in our communities. And, you know, we just want to give them every advantage. And if you're hungry, you cannot focus on anything that's going on around you in the classroom. I mean, that's your number one concern is where is my next meal going to be coming from? And that's why I think it's so important that we take that stress for families off the table and just make something available so that, you know, they can be kids. Kids need to be kids at this time in their life. They shouldn't be worrying about where my next meal is going to be coming from. And that's why I think all of the partners that are sitting at this table today are the ones that make sure that that doesn't happen.
Yeah, Nick, can you talk a little bit about how just, you know, providing this meal, you know, a couple times a day for kids, how that can actually help their families as well, not just those children?
I mean, absolutely. So you look at, and Link can probably speak on this, but there's a number of kids, a number of families that really need to use those free or reduced lunch programs. So one summer out, you know, if you have a house of five people and then all of a sudden you need to start paying for the meals to make sure those kids are eating, that can be a pretty big burden if you have a tight budget on it. Maybe it's your rent, maybe it's your utilities throughout the summer. A number of different factors come into play, and it's not necessarily only about making sure that we're helping in that instance, but it's also making sure that we're setting those kids and those families up for success far after they get that initial meal. So maybe it is being able to feed them some healthy different types of items and making sure that they can be productive in our society eventually, along with, yeah, giving them a banana here and there, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich here and there.
Lynn, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about how the La Crosse School District funds its summer lunch program.
The federal summer food service program. So all the dollars that come into the district are federally driven for us. And, you know, the program is self-sustaining, it's self-supporting with those federal dollars that we get. You know, the program, I think, started maybe in 1968, and they were looking at statistics for children that how they were getting food during the summer. And even when those programs started, still only about 20% of the kids were having access to summer food service. And that's in their earlier years. And it's grown. I mean, programs are growing. A school can be a sponsor. The Y can be a sponsor. A camp can be a sponsor. So it's not just a school-related organization. And one of the other things is they don't have to be, the children that come to our programs don't have to be La Crosse School District children. Because it's a federal program, any child 18 or under or a student that might be a bit older than that but still enrolled in one of our programs can come have meals. We don't take tickets. We don't collect any income information. We don't ask any questions except, how was your day and what are you doing and you look great. And, you know, then they come and have a meal with us with, you know, without any guidelines or any barriers.
You know, have there been any changes to the, you know, access to that funding? Funding on a federal level, that's always something that's, you know, occasionally in question and things change in budgets. And so I just wonder if, you know, there's any concerns there, any issues there.
Well, you know, there are always concerns about our funding. I mean, we watch very carefully to make sure that, you know, if something's on the table, that we are part of that solution to that. You know, if we agree with it, we are very supportive. But, you know, we actually have our professional association, the School Nutrition Association of Wisconsin, has a legislative committee, and several of our people go to Washington every year. We have an advocacy day at the state capitol in Madison because we want to be part of the solution and part of the discussion. We don't want something to just happen to us. And summer food service has been one that we haven't over the years. You know, there hasn't been a lot of controversy that funding should be removed. You know, so we're very grateful about that. We appreciate the funding. We appreciate the support. But I think, you know, one of the things that's changed, I think, over the years is people's feeling of what a school should do. You know, a school used to be they just come, they get their books, they have their education, they go home, and it seems like the schools have had to expand their reach and their touch of things that they do. And we have to change with that, too. And so I think as the years have gone, other school districts have realized that, what are these kids doing during June, July, and August when there are no meals and they're coming on board to this program? So it's grown a lot over the years in the whole United States.
Is that a challenge sometimes for the school district to not only provide for kids, you know, provide those sorts of supports for children during the school year, but also, you know, while expanding what kind of support, also expanding how, you know, what time of the year you guys are supporting kids in the community?
Well, you know, it really does, because we finish school on Tuesday and our summer meals started on Wednesday. So that takes quite a bit of coordination to make all that happen. And so there are a lot of things went on this, you know, behind the scenes 3 or 4 months ago, you know, just getting ready to make this transition, because things still go on in our schools. Like, they still need to be cleaned and, you know, the floors needs to be waxed. And so we work with everybody in the district too to, you know, get support of our program too, because it's more kids in the building, it's more things going on, and you know, it's more disruption having all those little kids running around. So, I mean, there is quite a bit of coordination for that. But we just realize the importance of it, and everybody in our district is on board, you know, with helping us make sure that that happens for kids, because we all care about kids.
I wonder, Cindy, if you also see Lynn is mentioning that schools have really kind of expanded the role that they play in kids' lives. And I wonder if a similar, progression is happening with health systems, that they're kind of evolving what role they're playing, not just treating people when they're sick, but, you know, helping them kind of achieve a healthier lifestyle.
Absolutely. And especially with Gunderson Health System, I mean, we are trying to enrich every life. That's what we are here for. So we are definitely taking a more community approach in healthcare and the different programs that we are taking on, not just with this summer food service program, but other ways that we have been reaching out into the community to do more preventative care.
Yeah, why is preventative care? I mean, can you talk a little bit about some of the understanding that has happened around preventative care and knowing kind of what not only cost savings that can mean, but also just, you know, mean for a person's health?
Right. So like you mentioned, definitely those cost savings. But for the person's health, of course, I mean, there's an obvious point that if we are taking preventative action, then there's going to be fewer issues down the road. If I'm eating healthy now, exercising now, being more aware of my stress and managing that now and how that's going to have a positive impact as I age.
That's Cindy Solis, a registered dietitian at Gunderson Health System, here with us today to talk about how their organization, or her organization, is working to meet the nutrition needs of low-income families in the La Crosse area this summer. Also joining us is Lynn Halverson from the La Crosse School District and Nick Ragner from the Salvation Army in La Crosse. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Nick, I wonder if you can talk about the stigma that is sometimes associated with receiving a free lunch. You know, you mentioned earlier kind of the importance of, you know, showing support for low-income families who might be accessing the meals that the Salvation Army provides. But, you know, do you feel like there is that stigma sometimes?
Yeah, I guess maybe a little bit. Maybe sometimes people are a little proud to either, you know, to really accept, you know, what the community is trying to offer them. We see that through a number of our programs. You know, we have a ton of things that we do on the Salvation Army, you know, outside of the homeless shelter. We have a lot of different seasonal programs for families, and sometimes you do see that. But at the same token, I think a lot of families, too, you know, are very appreciative of what it is that they are receiving, and they know that this isn't just, you know, a handout. It's a building block to help them and their families become successful. You know, or keeping them out of some other type of crisis situation that could come about by, you know, simply being able to get those free meals Monday through Fridays.
Lynn, I wonder if the school district also has to, you know, navigate this, the stigma that sometimes can be associated with, you know, free and reduced lunches.
We do. And, you know, I think we try to keep these situations as far away from the children as we can, you know, like collecting lunch money during the school year and filling out the free and reduced applications. That is not a child's responsibility. So we keep that as far away as we can. I'm so proud to be part of this community, though, that steps up to help families, whether it's food needs, whether it's clothing, whether it's housing. I mean, this community is unique, I think, in probably the whole Midwest, that they do as many things as they do. And like Nick said, they have all these different programs throughout the summer. The library does things. You know, we try to find things to keep kids engaged and active. And the school district La Crosse has quite a summer program as well, where they have all kinds of enrichment opportunities for kids. So we try to make every child feel as normal as the next child.
You mentioned before the program that the La Crosse School District has also been working on maybe changing their free and reduced lunch program to overcome some of these barriers, specifically the paperwork that sometimes can be associated with free and reduced lunch. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, federally, a new program was introduced probably 5 or 6 years ago, and it's called CEP, and that stands for Community Eligibility Provision. And what that means is if it's an area with high enough need, any child that comes to that building will be able to have free breakfast and lunch. And we started this, we'll be in our third year at Northside Elementary and our second year going through Hamilton. And it's been a very successful program because parents don't have to fill out an application. It's based on the need of the area. We do like census tract data information and also information that we gathered previously with free and reduced information. And that's really helped families. You know, a lot of families are in crisis, and the fact that they have to fill out another piece of paperwork, it, you know, can be challenging. So oftentimes we know a family would qualify, but we can't quite get that paperwork in. And then who funds that meal? You know, we lose the funding for that meal, and that's something we have to make up for in a different way. So, you know, I think that as programs have become available, we try to jump on board if we think they can be successful, and that the CEP program has been very successful.
Cindy, you mentioned that Gunderson will not only be, you know, inviting people to come have meals at the Gunderson campus locations, but also delivering them. And I wonder if you could talk about, you know, how Gunderson selected those delivery sites.
We know that during the day, parents will drop children off at those parks, and also I think it's new this year that the parks are being kind of monitored by some Parks and Rec staff. So that's just knowing that and knowing that that's kind of a go-to place for children to be during the day, and it being a low-income area definitely made it a good selection to deliver meals to those locations.
And I wonder how Gunnarsson is staffing, you know, providing those meals. Like, who will actually be going out to the community and interacting with these kids?
Yeah, we did have to change things up a little bit to make this work, which, of course, we're more than willing to do. But, yeah, we worked it out with the food service department to be able to have one of the delivery people go to those locations to drop off those meals. And it's not just a drop off. They have kind of a 15-minute time frame there that they hand out the meals.
Nick, you mentioned earlier that you encourage a lot of your partners to actually, you know, volunteer and help pass out these meals, interact with the community. You know, can you talk a little bit about how you guys recruit volunteers?
Yeah, you know, well, the Salvation Army over there on 8th and State Street, nothing we could do would be possible without volunteers. We have thousands and thousands and thousands of volunteers that come through our doors and make really all of our programs happen, whether it's serving meals out of our kitchen or our food pantry or, you know, making our thrift store run. It's all volunteer-based, and that's exactly how Feed the Kids is as well. You know, we have groups of between 8 and 10 individuals coming in every Monday through Friday morning. They sit down there for 2 hours. They bag and sack 300 meals every day. And then we have another couple of volunteers that, you know, load up the truck, and they go out to the 10 different sites and deliver them. So, fortunately for us, this is actually one of the programs which a lot of people like to be a part of. So it's almost like when we get calls sometimes, we have to say, well, would you mind volunteering in 2 months? Because that's our next opening. But, you know, again, typically when we want to make sure people are connected with their community and seeing the difference that they're making, we'll try to find an open spot for them to be able to take part in the program. But yeah, as far as volunteer recruitment, this is fortunately for us one of the programs which isn't the hardest to recruit for.
A good problem to have, I imagine.
Definitely.
And Lynn, how, you know, you mentioned that the meals that you guys provide is pretty similar to the meals that are provided during the school year. I imagine, is that, you know, the lunchroom staff that is also typically serving those meals?
Yes. In fact, we have more staff that want to work in our summer program than we have openings for, you know, because it provides year-round work. So it's, you know, helpful for our staff, too, to be able to have that extra income during the summer. So we have no problem finding staff to work for us. And, you know, we have parents that will come in with their kids and we provide, you know, they can pay for a meal to eat with breakfast or lunch with their student or with their child. And so we're happy to have them with, too.
Lynn Halverson is Nutrition Supervisor for the La Crosse School District. She's here with us today to talk about the summer meal programs available to La Crosse area students this summer. She's joined by Cindy Solis, a registered dietitian from Gunnarsson Health System, and Nick Ragner, Development Director for the Salvation Army in La Crosse. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on the nutrition needs of low-income families in and around La Crosse. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. For many low-income families, students' access to a free or reduced lunch at school every day can help fight food insecurity. But what do they do during summer break? Organizations in the La Crosse area are working together this summer to make sure students have easy access to meals. Joining us to talk about these programs and what more can be done are Nick Ragner, Development Director for the Salvation Army in La Crosse, Cindy Solis, registered dietitian at Gunnarsson Health System, and Lynn Halverson, nutrition supervisor for the La Crosse School District. Cindy, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about kind of what planning goes into the meals that are provided to students. You know, I wonder if you can kind of talk about the process of developing, you know, a meal.
Right. So I personally was not involved in a lot of that meal planning, but we did have a registered dietitian who was heavily involved and looking at the criteria that need to be met, because as this is part of that summer food service program and we are reimbursed by the USDA, we need to meet certain criteria in order to receive that reimbursement. So it's really looking at what foods do we already have available and how can we take those to make reimbursable meals that kids are also going to like, because we don't want to make every meal just a boiled egg and kale.
Yeah, Lynn, you brought up this idea earlier, too, that, you know, tacos and pizza tend to be, you know, those are the favorites of students. But, and, you know, I think that that has also been kind of a topic of conversation as, you know, schools develop their criteria for meals, that they can kind of get the reputation of being bland or unappealing. So I wonder how the, you know, La Crosse School District kind of maybe fights that idea of unappealing lunches for kids.
Yeah, it's hard to shake that stigma. The mystery meat term drives me crazy because they're not like that. I mean, we really love to have people come in and see what we're doing. You know, at our schools, we have fresh salad bars every day with all kinds of toppings. So it isn't what your mother's school lunch was. And we work really hard to, you know, like this year, we are a catering contract with the Y, because the Y runs their own program, but they're actually the sponsor of the USDA site that we've been talking about. And we prepare the food for them at Spence, and then we truck it to their sites for them to serve, and then they claim the meals as a sponsor for that. So we've been working on, you know, I talked about how we're doing these more super snack lunches at night. So we're trying to come up with a more healthy lunchable, you know, that's interesting for kids, that includes some different ideas. You know, we've done things like cold rolled up pizza, we've done unfried chicken but cold, you know, cold drumsticks or something for the kids to eat. And, you know, I just think we've come out of the box with our thinking. You know, it doesn't have to always be a meat. It can be a yogurt or a boiled egg or a cheese stick, that kind of thing. So we do provide quite a bit of variety for the kids.
Cindy, I wonder if you can also talk about maybe the consideration on portion size that goes into these meals as well, and just looking at serving sizes that kids are getting.
Yeah, so again, it's making sure that we are serving the in the amounts that are needed in order to meet that criteria, but also looking at what does a child actually eat. So some examples of meals that we are going to serve would be like a turkey and cheese pita with mandarin oranges on the side and cucumber slices and skim milk. So not a ton of food there, but enough to feed a child.
You know, I think that another topic that, you know, is often talked about is just the rates of childhood obesity that we often see kind of developing in kids. And, you know, Lynn, I wonder kind of how these meals can help kind of fight that trend that we're seeing.
Well, I think, you know, the meals that we serve are so nutrient dense, but following the guidelines that Cindy was speaking of, that, you know, the calories and the energy that we put into that are based on what that child needs. So we have different regulations and requirements for an elementary child versus a high school child. So it isn't just a cookie cutter meal that we serve the same at every level. And, you know, even just discerning tastes, you know, kids, as they get a little bit older, like more things highly seasoned. So we have a different taco meat that we serve at elementary level versus one we serve at high school that has a little more fire to it. So, you know, it isn't nutrition unless a child eats it. And so, you know, if the food is going in the garbage can, it's not helping anybody and it's inflating our costs. So you really have to serve what your customer wants or they're not going to eat it. And, you know, in the school lunch program during the school year, there are all kinds of other options that kids can have. They don't have to eat with us. So you have to have something that's going to draw them there to eat, or they'll bring a bag lunch from home, or they'll leave campus and go somewhere else. And, you know, so we really work really hard with the students. You know, we have nutrition advisory councils that help, you know, determine what foods they're wanting to use. We have a really big farm to school program in all of La Crosse County. It's not just La Crosse School District, we're all of La Crosse County. And we have tasting days where kids can sample things. So we come up with a menu calendar for the whole year. And that happens during the summer too at Hamilton, because that school actually operates more in the summer versus our other schools. And so we have a feature food every single month, and we offer the kids a tasting of that, and then we menu it as a full menu item twice during that same month. So, you know, we've exposed the kids to kale. I've talked about that quite a bit. But rutabagas, parsnips, asparagus, you know, some like star fruit, kiwi fruit, and some of these higher priced things families don't purchase at home. And so when Nick was talking about a family not knowing what a banana was, I mean, we have children that don't know that a chicken has a bone in it, you know, because they might be used to getting chicken patties or chicken nuggets. And while we do serve those things still in our meal program, we serve, you know, other things. And we're, you know, moving back, I think, to more scratch cooking than we have. You know, school lunches 40 years ago, everything was made from scratch. And as we moved in, I would say, probably the 70s to more, you know, commercially processed things, the school lunch program moved in that way too. But now we're realizing that all that processing isn't healthy and some of the additives. And so we're swinging back the other way. So it's a really good thing.
Nick, what consideration does nutrition have on kind of how the Salvation Army puts together its meals?
Yeah, so obviously we're a little bit at the mercy of whatever it is that we have on any given day. I've told this a couple of times, but our first day of Feed the Kids last year, we served peanut butter and jelly sandwiches on hot dog buns because it's what the donations were. And honestly, as a kid, it's kind of I think it's actually kind of nice. It makes it a little bit more accessible. You can go and play and have a hot dog peanut butter and jelly sandwich in one hand. But nonetheless, we are kind of restricted a little bit more on that. But we do have, you know, I wouldn't say guidelines necessarily, but we do make conscious efforts in order to make sure that we can have some type of fresh fruit or fresh vegetable available to use as a side. We do have a pantry full of things like granola bars and fruit cups and things like that. But whenever available, we try to work with some of those community partners. And that's another important thing too. A lot of these different community partners, we also try to make sure that when we're getting that cheese or that lunch meat or what have you, that it is also local, right? So it's not, we know where it's coming from more or less. And that's another big component of what it is that we're able to do in trying to have some type of conscious effort towards making sure that the meals are as nutritional as possible.
Nick, you know, the Salvation Army, obviously, as a charitable organization, you know, works with low-income families in a lot of different ways. And I wonder just, you know, with that kind of perception, you know, is there a need in the community that, you know, isn't being met? I mean, are the current efforts enough to serve the needs in our community?
You know, I think that's actually a really good question. I think you could have a bunch of different answers depending on what it is that you're specifically looking at. I think Lynn was correct in saying this earlier, but from my point of view, growing up in this community, being involved in the nonprofit spectrum for a number of years now, there are just so many different organizations and resources available to people that I still find out, you know, day in and day out, even though I feel like I'm supposed to know everything that I possibly can. So I think it's difficult to say that we're necessarily, you know, lacking some type of resource available, especially in particular to food insecurity when, I mean, you just have a couple of people at the table right now and a couple of other different organizations that are doing everything that they can in order to be able to provide those services. I do think that the best part of about what I'm seeing is that the collaboration between all of these agencies just seems to be growing stronger and stronger every single year. So it's not necessarily about how, you know, Gunderson can do what they can to solve a problem or the school district or the Salvation Army, but how can we as a bunch of different organizations come together to solve this one main issue of food insecurity throughout the summer. And I think you're seeing that with a lot of different community issues, whether it is, you know, one of our big components, homelessness or you know, rental assistance or things like that, or mental health issues. I think there's a lot of different organizations that are doing great things and working together. And I think those bonds, the services that are provided, are only going to go stronger as we continue to work together to find out ways in which we can all provide better services opposed to each of us doing our own individual thing.
You mentioned that you work with a number of businesses who provide donations. And, you know, I just wonder kind of what trends you're seeing in you know, businesses, organizations kind of stepping up to the plate to address some of these community issues?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that you notice is that a lot of these organizations, these businesses that are local, they take a lot of community pride. You know, they don't forget their roots. You know, you hear that a lot. And I think when these issues are presented, and again, when they can see it kind of on the very base level and understanding the difference that they could help make through their organization or their business or themselves as an individual, you know, it's what you get back is twofold, right? So again, I think what's important and what's really worked well for us as being a nonprofit and a charitable organization is being able to connect people with what's happening in their community and helping them understand, you know, the needs that are present and the difference that they can make in order to continue building this community up, not just now, but down the line, you know, 5, 10, 20 years from now.
That's Nick Ragner, Development Director for the Salvation Army in La Crosse, here with us today to talk about his organization, how his organization is working to meet the nutrition needs of low-income families in the La Crosse area this summer. Also joining us are Cindy Solis from Gunderson Health System and Lynn Halverson from the La Crosse School District. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Lynn, I wonder if what your thoughts are on you know, if there are still needs in the community when it comes to, you know, food security, especially for kids, that you feel like still need to be met.
I think there's probably always going to be that. But the beauty of the partnership that we have with other community agencies is that we share each other's story. So Nick might be with a different group of people explaining what the school district is doing or what Gunderson is doing. And I am always telling what other organizations are doing because I think it's so community-based that we have this, you know, that we have this success. And we have what's called the lunch fund. So that's during the school year, we take private donations from people, and it's a safety net that acts for families that wouldn't qualify for the federal and state benefits but still have a need, like someone might be without a job or they have high medical bills or, you know, that there's just really a need. And the community has reached out to us in ways that you can't even imagine, you know, with funding that. We've never had an issue of not having enough funding for that, because when it's children, you know, children tug at the heartstrings of just about everybody. And so, you know, they want to help kids. And one of the things that we've done in the school district, too, is we have a food pantry in every single school. And it might not be that your typical pantry where you'd go in and select things off the shelves. We base that on the need of our students as well. So as an example, our high school might give out gift cards for food only at area grocery stores. Central has a food pantry that's open on the weekends so people can come in and get that. You know, so we really try to address the needs at the level they're at. Hamilton has a backpack program. So, you know, certain Fridays each month, a backpack goes home with families of a meal that's simple for them to prepare. You know, we have to think outside of the box a bit, too, because not all families have a stove. Not all families have a way to open a can. You know, they don't have knife cutting skills. And so, you have to think that their life may be a bit different than yours and make sure that we can accommodate those needs so that they can be successful, too, in providing for their families.
Can you talk a little bit about, you know, the level of need in the La Crosse area? You know, how many kids in the La Crosse school districts are qualifying for free and reduced lunches?
That's held pretty steady for the last 4 or 5 years. It's usually between 46 and 48% of our students qualify for free or reduced meals.
I wonder how that compares to other communities in Wisconsin or just kind of in this region.
Well, you know, it just depends on the school district. You know, La Crosse in this area would be the highest rate of free and reduced of any community. But if you go to Milwaukee, you know, they have CEP at, I think, every single, you know, school building in their district. So, you know, it just depends on the region, I think, and the opportunities for employment that are there and, you know, what the community provides.
Cindy, you know, this is Gunderson's first summer, you know, providing school meals for school children. And I wonder if there were any unexpected challenges that came up in kind of putting this program together or applying to the federal program.
I know that there were some challenges along the way. Having not been the one deeply involved in all of the background work on this, I don't know that I can speak specifically to those challenges, but I know that it was a very rewarding experience, and the dietitian that we had working on this was having a lot of fun with it and working with the food service staff, and even just putting these meals together was a very rewarding experience. But overall, I mean, there were no huge barriers that we ran into. The application process and everything was a fairly smooth, and we were really happy to be able to be a part of this.
Yeah, what strengths do you think that, you know, Gunderson Health System has in being able to kind of fill this need in the community?
A major strength, I would say, is even just our location and the accessibility. So these meals are available for any child 18 and younger, and we're not asking for any verification or anything like that. You could just be with your parents in the hospital and going to the cafeteria, and we're there handing out the free meals, and they're welcome to take advantage of that. So yeah, really the accessibility is probably a huge strength. And then I know earlier it was mentioned a little bit about some of the possible feelings of being hesitant to take advantage of something like this. And I think that in our position, we can do a really good job of not having that stigma so apparent as it might be in other settings, just because we're making it really obvious that it's available to all children, and it's even if you're just walking through the cafeteria and you see us there with the meals, come get it.
Nick, I wonder, you know, because Salvation Army's program is a little different in that, you know, you guys are going out and kind of bringing the meals to the kids. Are there any logistical challenges that that come up in that?
You know, honestly, the biggest challenge that we have is probably just making sure that we have enough resources to get through a week. I mean, that's something that somehow, some way, the community always steps up. But as far as getting the meals out there, we have a number of very dedicated volunteers that have been doing it for a number of years. And, you know, it's all about nutrition, and it's about making sure that we're feeding. And I kind of alluded to this a little bit earlier, but a really big component of what it is that the Salvation Army does here, too, is that we go out to some of those kind of areas where there isn't a lot, you know, those trailer parks that are just off the beaten path, that are just way out there. And what you'll notice in talking with some of the volunteers again is that they really build these trusting and really long-term relationships with some of these families and some of these kids. They get to know them. You know, if you take a ride with Tom, one of our drivers, he'll talk with the kids, ask how their brother's doing in college. He'll ask mom, you know, how her three ones are doing, how work's going for the husband. It's pretty touching. And again, I think at the end of the day, it is about feeding the families. But at the same time, I think a lot of what these programs do, I think a big component of probably what Gunderson does in that neighborhood, a big component of what the school district does with a number of different programs, is letting those families, letting those people know that there's a community here for them, there's a community here behind them, and to let them know that there's a support system there. Because honestly, sometimes when you look at different people, regardless of what insecurity they may have, a support system can be the biggest component toward setting them up for success down the line. So I consider that while the meals help them do now, I think the biggest thing that we're able to provide is some hope, and, you know, really just a shoulder to lean on to those families that otherwise wouldn't have it.
Looking to the future, I wonder if there are any issues or challenges that the Salvation Army is anticipating as it kind of continues to plan for this summer meal program.
Yeah, you know, our biggest thing right now is just the meal site. So we've talked as we met a couple of months ago, you know, are there more north side of La Crosse sites that we may need to add? Do we start thinking about going out into other parts throughout the county, whether it's Holman, West Salem, Onalaska? Those are growing communities, and when you have growing communities, unfortunately, there are times where there is a growth in need, right? So really what we're working on right now, and what we're kind of looking at toward the future of the summer feeding program, is are we going to have to add a few more sites that might be a little bit challenging at first for us to develop not only with adding meals, but also with, you know, finding ways in which we can continue delivering them on a day-to-day basis throughout the summer.
What calculations kind of go into, figuring out what locations the Salvation Army will be visiting?
So kind of the conversation that we had when we met with Lynn and with the Y and Gunderson and the Boys and Girls Club is honestly kind of, at the end of the day, we go, where do you guys want us? You know, where are some spots that you think that, we could make the biggest impact? And that's honestly, I mean, it's not, you know, we're not sitting there analyzing Excel spreadsheets and going, you know, where are some pockets that we can go? There's a couple of sites that we've added throughout the years where literally maybe a program calls us, maybe the city calls us and says, hey, there's a bunch of kids as part of a program here. Can you help us out? But usually a lot of what goes into the routes and the stops that we plan on, it's honestly kind of just happenstance. It's just people calling us, letting us know that this would be a good spot for us to go. And if it becomes a regular stop in our route, then it becomes a regular stop in our route.
We've been talking with Nick Ragner, Development Director for the Salvation Army in La Crosse, Cindy Solis, Registered Dietitian at Gunderson Health System, and Lynn Halverson, Nutrition Supervisor for the La Crosse School District, about summer nutrition programs in the La Crosse area and what challenges lie ahead for the organizations that provide them. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers.